It is not a bad year in the least for apples in Wisconsin. Last year was one of the worst harvests on records, but this year it's a different story. We will celebrate the bumper crop of apples, talk about different varieties and what to do with them, where to go to pick them, and some of the apple festivals that are going on around the state. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, September 20th. Well, I brought some of my favorite apples into work today. I, like many of you, love Honeycrisps. I just munched down on one a little while ago. Do you have a favorite variety of apple? What do you like to make with apples? And do you make a trip to your local apple orchard, a fall ritual? Where do you go? Tell me. Tell us on this Apple edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Sarah Ecker, Orchard Manager at Ecker's Apple Farm in Trumpolo and a member of the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association Board of Directors. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I understand that you were crossing your fingers that those storms that hit late yesterday and last night were going to largely miss your orchard. How did you fare?
We did fare well. I definitely stood by the window for a little bit last night, but it passed by us nicely. We got the rain that we needed and none of the hard stuff that we fear.
Yeah, hail would have messed things up, I bet.
It is pretty devastating.
Yeah, we had a lot of rain here in Madison, a lot of flooding going on right here on campus even, but we made it through too. So you needed the rain still. You still could use rain.
Yes. You know, apple trees are a perennial crop, and so if they get stressed by drought, it can kind of complicate any problems and makes them susceptible to other diseases as well as just not having enough water. So it's always helpful to get a little rain.
So how badly was your orchard hurt last year? I know that it was not a very good year. I heard it was one of the worst harvests on record.
Yes, I think we had a little less than 5% of a crop last year, but other orchards in the area were able to help us out, and our customers still were loyal and came back and really made it an okay season despite the lack of apples that we had. The frost and hailstorms last year really did hurt us.
You are not, your apple crop is not hurting this year at all.
No, I think this is one of our best crops. It's the best crop that I've seen in the 5 years that I've been managing here. We have excellent variety and the quality is way up this year.
Yeah, so what made the difference?
Well, apples are incredibly weather dependent year round. So the forecast even this week just looks amazing because we have cool weather and calm weather. We're hoping to bring in another 100,000 pounds of apples just this week. So we hope for fall rains to bring us into the winter hydrated. We also need snow cover throughout the winter to help us through the bitterly cold temperatures. And a gradual warm-up in the spring so we don't catch a late frost is imperative.
You told my producer yesterday that one good thing about the dismal harvest last year is that it helped set the trees up for the stellar crop this year. How does that work?
So having a big crop puts a little bit of a stress on the tree. It uses up some of its reserves. And so if you have no crop 1 year, you can actually set a large crop the next. So I think we're in that cycle a little bit, and this is a year of a fantastic harvest.
Yay. There is a local orchard in the Madison area, and the orchard manager was saying that his trees actually had branches breaking off because of the weight of the bumper crop. Is it that big?
We've had some branch breakage. We went around and did a hand thinning, so we went through and actually pulled off a significant quantity of apples so that the tree was strong enough to hold the crop. I would assume we have 40 acres. I would assume on an orchard much bigger than that, that might get to be too big of a task. But
So why don't you give us a little radio virtual tour of your orchard? What do you have growing right now?
Well, right now we are in the middle of Honeycrisp harvest. So if a family would come out to our orchard, we would put them on our Honeycrisp Express. It's a John Deere tractor train, and we take a tour through the orchard and make stops where things are ripe. And this weekend, we'll have McIntosh and Cortland, Honeycrisp, of course, that's all ripe and ready for the picking.
Oh, boy, those are all my favorites. It's hard to have a favorite, but I mentioned that Honeycrisp is my latest favorite apple. I looked on your website, and I see you're having a Honeycrisp festival, but it's not until October.
Yes, we hold our Honeycrisp Hootenanny. This year's is October 19th, and we put it to celebrate having our Honeycrisp in. So if people want to come and pick Honeycrisp at their local orchard, I would say the next 2 weeks they are ripe and ready for picking. And then once we get to our Hootenanny on the 19th, we celebrate Honeycrisp apples and bluegrass music.
Fun. So I'm going to be going to an apple festival tomorrow in Oneida. It's at the Oneida Apple Orchard. I was invited by someone from Oneida Nation Tourism to visit a long time ago, and I said yes, and looking forward to checking out the Oneida Apple Orchard in Hobart near Green Bay. But next weekend, I'm headed over to the Great River Road. I had promised that I was going to be driving a portion of the Great River Road, and it seems to me that I could stop at Ecker's Apple Farm if I do that.
Well, we would be glad to have you.
So that is, you're right in Trempealeau, and you you just have apple picking on a daily basis?
We do have apple picking on a daily basis. We also have fresh baked pies every day. We make our own caramel and have excellent carameled apples here as well.
Oh, yum. Well, that's what we're talking about this hour. Our favorite places to get apples, our favorite kinds of apples, what we like to do with apples. And we're welcoming your suggestions, recommendations, and questions for our guest, Sarah Ecker, who is orchard manager at Ecker's Apple Farm in Trempealeau, a member of the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association Board of Directors. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now Granny had a yearning to bake an apple pie, but all she had were plums. Oh me, oh my. She said maybe.
Well, I don't think Granny's going to have any trouble finding apples this year. We are celebrating Wisconsin's bumper apple crop, and we are talking about all things apple related, and we're welcoming your input. Do you have a favorite kind of apple? What's your favorite thing to do with apples? I think after I pick up some apples this weekend, I'm going to make I'm going to make an apple crisp. What about you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Sarah Ecker. She is the orchard manager at Ecker's Apple Farm in Trempealeau. So what do you like to make with your apple, Sarah?
Well, I have to say that, honestly, I wear many hats on the orchard, but the baking is left up largely to my mother, Mary.
Okay.
And a crew of 10 women bake 5,000 pies on our farm each year.
5,000, my goodness.
So if I get in the kitchen, I'm probably going to make a crock pot apple butter is one thing that I do, which is great for people like me who don't cook very much because it leaves a lot to the imagination with, you can get pretty creative. So I just filled a 5-quart crock pot last night with slices, put that on overnight, with just a tablespoon of cinnamon in there, and it's still cooking down yet this morning. So I'll stir that and mash it a few times. And then we freeze that. So that, if you have a large quantity of apples and don't want to get too specific, is a good recipe. I also, when I found out I was going to share a recipe, I went on to the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association website, and they have over 50 different recipes listed there. So you can definitely peruse those. But there's a recipe on there for extraordinary apple sauce, which they recommend 2 1/4 cups of sliced peeled apples and 3/4 cup unsweetened orange juice, which I substituted apple cider, 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg, 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, and 3/4 teaspoon of almond extract.
Hmm. And I think you're right. Why, I would certainly put apple cider in there too and not orange juice. You know, you got to use all of the apple.
Yes.
Well, that sounds great. And that's on the Wisconsin Apple Growers website.
Yes. Good. And that website is really a great tool for families deciding where to go out for the weekend or for a day trip. There's a map, actually, that has highlighted over 100 different orchards in the state. So if you visit your local orchard each year, you know, you can visit them and then look for a place that's a few hours away if you want to get out a little bit.
That sounds like a great idea. And we do have a link to the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association's website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we also have a link to the Eckers Apple Farm website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page with all sorts of information about both of those organizations. And that apple butter, that sounds good. That's my kind of cooking too, Sarah. To tell you the truth, I'm not really the best baker in the world. And I can make, though, the apple crisp, just because it doesn't take quite that much. You just have to put that topping together. And I usually just follow a recipe that I find online, too, when I do that. But there are certain apples that are better for baking as opposed to eating. Isn't that right?
I think it depends on what you're using the apples for and what your overall desired outcome is. Some people like to have chunks in their apple crisp or their apple pies, and some people like them to cook down. But I think, on the most part, apples can be used for a variety of purposes. So at this point of the year, if you wanted apples that will keep their shape in your pies, I would say Cortland is a great option, as well as we do bake with Honeycrisp sometimes. And if you want an apple that will bake down, a Macintosh is a good choice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because it's a little softer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's what I heard, too, is using a variety of apples in an apple pie is what some people like to do. So you have a couple of different tastes there. So you make 5,000 apple pies. That's wonderful. Maybe our listeners also have a favorite place to get a slice of apple pie. Maybe there's a cafe or a restaurant or an apple orchard in your neck of the woods that makes great apple pies. Let us know about that, too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Lots of people are commenting on Facebook. We have Pam on Facebook who says, baked apples are so yummy and very easy. Just core. Put some brown sugar and cinnamon in the middle and a little butter on top. Serve warm and top with a little ice cream. Scrumptious. That does sound scrumptious. This is interesting. Steve on Facebook says he likes to make apple sauce and he uses cinnamon red hots. I've never heard of that. How about you, Sarah?
I have heard a little bit of the cinnamon red hot. I have not tried it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, we have Jerry on Facebook who writes, great apples at Wood Orchard, a little north of Egg Harbor. Their sweet tango apples are excellent. The shop is fun, and did I mention their homemade strudel and fudge? No, you didn't, Jerry, but now you did. Thanks very much for that. Well, the sweet tango, that's, is that another one of the newer varieties, Sarah? Are you familiar with that one?
It is one of the newer varieties, and the Wood Orchards have a foot in the door with the Sweet Tango.
Oh, meaning there's sort of exclusive rights to it or something?
There are some exclusive rights to that, and actually other orchards in Wisconsin have access to new varieties as well. We will be showcasing this weekend here a Riverbell apple, which is a new one developed in Holman, Wisconsin by Doug Scheffelbein. And it's managed by Westcott Agriproducts. So the Riverbell, and then soon to be available will be the Pizzazz, another another apple that's featured in Wisconsin and Minnesota. So the new varieties just keep coming.
Oh, that's interesting. So there's actually orchards that are working on developing new varieties.
Absolutely, all the time.
Oh, very neat. I know the Honeycrisp is, that's been around a while, but still, when that started some years ago, it sort of took apple orchards by storm, didn't it? I mean, it was just a super popular apple.
It did. That the crunch of the Honeycrisp is just one of a kind, and once people have had it, they keep coming back.
Yeah, well, I know I do, that's for sure. We are celebrating Wisconsin's apple harvest and talking about all things apples. I'm Joy Cardine with Sarah Ecker. She is living apples these days, orchard manager at Ecker's Apple Farm in Trempealeau. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What's your favorite kind of apple and what do you like to do with it? Or do you have a favorite place to get apples or apple products? A great slice of apple pie, maybe. Joe in Madison is with us. Hello, Joe.
Good morning.
Morning.
First, I want to start off, as a child, we would make our annual trip. We'd actually take a day off of school to Gage Mills, and we'd come back with 3 or 4 bushels of apples.
Neat.
And my mom would make applesauce out of them. But I remember as a child growing up, apple pie with a slice of cheddar cheese on the top. My grandparents ate it that way, and my parents did, but I don't seem to see it that much anymore.
You're right. You're right, Joe. My parents love that too, and I guess it's been a long time since I've tried it. You can just do it at home, though, right?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. But I just remember that big slice of cheese on the top.
Yep. And how about you, Sarah? Have you ever tried that?
I have, and my grandmother used to do cheddar cheese on the plate with the apple pie, and I believe there was a law in Wisconsin, and I don't know when, but to help support the dairy industry that when you served a piece of pie on the train, you had to serve it with a piece of cheese.
Isn't that something? Wow. But it's good. The mixture of cheese and fruit is just wonderful. So, and it makes it even more Wisconsin special, something special from Wisconsin. The Gaze Mills area that Joe brings up is, you're not terribly far from there, but there's something about the conditions in that part of the state that make for excellent apple growing?
Yes, and you'll find a lot of apple orchards are on higher ground or up in the bluffs, and that is to protect spring frosts and also to have good airflow as well.
Let's go next to Diane in Madison. Hi, Diane.
Hi. At work one day, we had pie day, and we had to bring in our favorite recipe for pie, and I made a pie with apple and fresh raspberries, apple raspberry pie, and also there's a group of people who are traveling to, and I'm wondering if your guest knows anything about Lapisac Apple Farm today. It's spelled Lapacek. It's here in Wisconsin, not far. And so I was wondering if she knew anything about that.
And I'm sorry, Diane, you said there's a bunch of people going there today for some reason?
Yes, they're going from our building where we live.
Oh.
It's an outing that's been planned.
Oh.
And we're going to, it's an apple farm. And I was wondering if your guests knew anything about that particular farm?
Well, go ahead, Sarah.
And a lot of apple orchardists, we do get together quite frequently, so we typically do know each other. I'm not familiar with the Lapisac farm, but I did see on the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association website that they are listed, so you could click on their link and find exactly what is offered at their orchard today.
Thanks, Diane, very much for mentioning that. I hope you have fun at that outing if you're going on it. And apple raspberry pie sounds pretty darn good to me, too. I wonder when Pie Day is. Does anybody remember when that is, Sarah?
Pie Day. I We have got to get in on this. I have not heard that there's a specific pie day. But
oh, all right. It's March. Much, it's March 14th. It's a playoff of the mathematical formula pi. So it's
oh my goodness. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. Let's see. I think we have time for Heidi in Sun Prairie. Hi, Heidi.
Good morning.
Morning. Do you have a favorite pie? I guess.
I do. The Elegant Farmer near East Troy. My kids like to call it the barn with the smiley face. They have they bake their apple pies in a paper bag. Yeah, they bake a bunch of different pies, but the caramel apple pie baked in a paper bag is my family's absolute favorite.
Oh, my goodness. Putting caramel in an apple pie is something I've got to try. Sarah, do you do that?
We do, and we have a homemade caramel here, and we do. Our most popular is an apple pie with crumb topping and the caramel drizzled on top.
All right, I've got all sorts of things that I've got to accomplish in the next several weeks. We are talking about apples with Sarah Ecker, orchard manager at Ecker's Apple Farm in Trempealeau. And we're welcoming your favorite kinds of apples, things to do with apples. Do you have a favorite place to go pick apples? Or maybe a memory about apple picking. Is it a fall tradition in your family? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We're going to celebrate apple season in our Wisconsin Life essay coming up after the news, and then more talk about apples. This is the Ideas Network.
Been to Auburndale, New Auburn, Berlin, New Berlin, London, New London, Rome, the other Rome, Franklin, the other Franklin, New Franklin, Richmond, New Richmond, Ridgewood, Woodruff, Woodford, Pleasantville, Pleasant Prairie, Sun Prairie, Star Prairie, Prairie Sheep, Prairie Sack, Black Flambeau, Vernon. Hopping over there, hey, smell that dairy air, hey, once a bottle Claire, hey.
This is an Apple edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll take more of your recommendations for apple orchards, apple varieties, apple pies, and other goodies in just a few minutes. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. But first, it's time for Wisconsin Life. It is apple season once again, and although you can find the basic varieties in any supermarket, once upon a time, Wisconsin was home to hundreds of different varieties of apples, many of which are now forgotten. Today, commentator Erica Janik introduces us to one of her favorites, the Rambo.
Sylvester Stallone made the name Rambo famous, but long before it was a muscular pop culture hero, Rambo was an apple. And not just any apple. Big and juicy with a blush of red when ripe, the Rambo came to North America from Sweden in 1640 with a colonist named Peter Gunnarsson. Colonists couldn't bring much with them on the long ocean voyage to the New World, so it says a lot that among the few precious things Peter Gunnarsson brought with him was a cask of his favorite Swedish apple seeds, a taste of home. Gunnarsson gave himself a new name when he got here, Peter Rambo, after a mountain near his hometown in Sweden. Obviously, he had no idea how big his name would later become. And his apple thrived in North America. Apples are skilled at making themselves at home anywhere, so much so that we often think of them as Native American fruits. But their origin is about as far away as you can imagine, in the mountains of Kazakhstan in Central Asia. Apple seeds have traveled the world in the bags and stomachs of humans and animals, and they traveled the frontiers of North America thanks to the folk legend Johnny Appleseed Chapman, a man who certainly knew his apples. Chapman supposedly called the Rambo his favorite apple, and he planted them, and thousands of others, throughout the Mid-Atlantic and Ohio Valley. And the Rambo did so well, and was so beloved, that more than a century later, it inspired a movie legend. It was the mid-1970s. Writer David Morrell was looking for a strong-sounding name for his new action hero. He spied a bag of Rambo apples that his wife had just brought home from the store, and took a bite of one. The rest is history. But back home in Sweden, the Rambo apple proved to be less resilient than its tough guy namesake. During the harsh winter of 1709, a number of old apple varieties vanished, including the Rambo. So 300 years later, a group of American descendants of Swedish immigrants decided to return Peter Gunnarsson's favor. They took the apple he kept alive in the New World back to its home, as a living memorial to the millions of Swedish Americans who crossed the Atlantic for a new life here. 10 precious Rambo apple trees are now growing in Sweden. The Rambo is said to be a delicious cooking apple, perfect for pie, sauce, and cider. They're hard to find, like many heirloom apple varieties, but well worth the effort. It's not often you can get a genuine taste of the past, and one with a great story to match. Especially when you know these apples were important enough, and delicious enough, for Peter Gunnarsson to bring to America more than three centuries ago.
Erica Janik is a Madison-based writer. She is the author of Apple, A Global History, and the editor of Wisconsin Life. Wisconsin Life is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council, supporting programs that use history, culture, and discussion to strengthen community life for everyone in Wisconsin. Visit Wisconsin Life online at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 19 minutes now before 7 o'clock on this Friday, September 20th. This is the hour every week when we talk about life in Wisconsin. And this time of year, one of the things many of us love to do is pick apples and eat apples and make things with apples. How do you like your apples? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are happy to have with us somebody who is very busy this time of year, Sarah Ecker, Orchard Manager at Ecker's Apple Farm in Trempealeau. She's also a member of the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association Board of Directors. And we have a caller, Frank in Arborvitae, who I think also misses heirloom apples. Hi, Frank.
Hi. Yeah, I happen to be 88 years old, and I grew up in New York State. And I miss two apples very much, and I don't know if they're ever grown in Wisconsin. And one is the Northern Spy, and the other is a King. Now, those apples have to mellow before they're good to eat. You know, you pick them in October, and about Christmas, they're ready to go. But they are good apples.
Why? What made them so special?
Well, they were a very mellow apple, good for all kinds of purposes, cooking and eating, and they of course, this was long before the shipping and cold storage opportunities that are here today were there. So you had to have an apple that would last until spring, just about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting. So it would, by keeping it around until Christmas time, that's how it would ripen up?
Yeah, mm-hmm. they would mellow, and they'd be very good at about that time. Took about a month for a Northern Spy to mellow.
Yeah, and you haven't found anything quite like them?
Nope.
What about that, Sarah? Ever hear of those or have a suggestion for Frank?
Well, the King apples I have not heard of, but I do think Northern Spies are grown around here. And that would be something that you might have to internet search to find exactly who's growing them. I know Northern Spies are currently sought after as people are starting their heirloom cideries. A Northern Spy does make excellent hard cider and ciders. But I have a question for Frank in how did he store his apples before cold storage?
Well, they were in a barrel in your basement.
Oh.
Yeah, there we go. Seems to me we would keep
it. With the potatoes and, mm-hmm. and the sauerkraut.
How should you store apples today, Sarah?
Well, I'd put them in a barrel in my basement. I think that's a great idea. It's always fun to find out how people did things without quite as much technology as we have now. Right now, I would recommend to put them in a refrigerator in the crisper drawer. It's how we use refrigeration units to keep our apples cool through Christmas as well.
How long can an apple without, just a plain old apple last for you?
I think if you choose an apple that, like Frank said, if you choose one that's not quite ripe when you put it in the fridge, you can definitely eat that well into the winter. We eat apples in March here well beyond our closing date. So,
are there any, we were talking in our first half hour about some of the new varieties coming out. Are there, you mentioned that there are orchards or at least cideries that that specialize in heirloom apples?
Yes, and I think it's a trend in growing in general to go back to the roots and get some heirloom varieties. So my sister is starting a brewery and cidery on this farm. It'll be Hogsback Brew Farm. And we're searching out for heritage varieties. There's a few orchards that will give us budwood, so we'll be able to graft onto roots and then start growing our own heirloom varieties here, and really the true English and American cider varieties.
Excellent. When will that cidery brewery be ready to go?
Well, she will have her home-brewed beer at the Hootenanny on October 19th here, but really getting an expansion and a new building will be maybe 1 to 2 years. So she's just perfecting her recipes.
Excellent. Mike sent an email, and he writes, "Something I learned recently about apples is that the seeds are not necessarily the kind of apple you are eating." Sarah, is Mike correct? How does that work?
There is a saying that there is an orchard in every apple.
Really?
And so that story about the Rambo is very interesting to me, that those apples were true to seed. I think that is very rare. Usually I liken it as a parent having a child, that you'd never have the same twice. So, yeah, that's very true. That's why all of the grafting takes place, is to actually take a bud from the mother tree and graft it over onto roots.
Interesting. All right, let's go back to the phones. Kim in Toma is with us now. Hi, Kim.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for waiting. I understand that you, your mom used to put cinnamon in her apples.
Right. Actually, was when you mentioned the cinnamon red hots, that brought back the memory. She used to can crab apples from Grandpa's tree. He lived on a farm, and she'd gather up the crab apples in the fall and can them with these cinnamon red hots, and then it would be wonderful to have them at Thanksgiving and Christmas.
I've never heard of that before.
The whole apple, the whole little crab apple, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Kim, for sharing that. So I guess some people use the cinnamon red hots. I guess that would taste kind of nice. We are talking about apples, and we are welcoming your apple stories. We're welcoming your favorite types of apples, places to pick apples, favorite apple recipes. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We're talking with Sarah Ecker, who is orchard manager at Ecker's Apple Farm in Trempealeau, a member of the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association Board of Directors. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Apple pizza's pumpkin pie.
Well, we are talking about apples and apple pies and all things apples as we are celebrating Wisconsin's bumper apple crop this year, and talking about all the many different varieties and things we can do with apples, orchards that we like to go to, festivals that we like to go to. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talking with the orchard manager at Ecker's Apple Farm in Trempealeau, Sarah Ecker. And Jeff on Facebook says, "I'm continuing to work through the massive harvest of apples that we picked from a very old tree that has never produced like this before. We have so many that I've made juice, cider, cake, pie, muffins, chutney." I don't know what this is. Tartatan. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. And applesauce, as well as giving many away, including to the Goodman Center Food Pantry. So, wow, he's really doing a lot. Apparently, we started off talking about this, Sarah, but this is one of the better apple crops in recent memory.
Correct. We picked our orchard record in one day yesterday. We picked 26 bins of fruit, which is approximately 20,000 pounds.
Oh, my goodness. So how many trees do you have, and how many apples do you sell?
Well, we have 9,000 trees and 28 varieties now, including Jessica's new cider varieties. Our last big crop was in 2011, and I believe we sold about 1 million apples that year.
Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful. All right, so 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page as we talk about apples and apple festivals, too. One listener mentioned that we should all consider going to the Bayfield Apple Festival, which is October 4th through the 6th. Well, certainly make a note of that. I did make it up to Bayfield in the summer. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make it to this year's Apple Fest, but I know that that's a good time. I mentioned earlier I will go to the Big Apple Fest in Oneida, which is taking place tomorrow, Saturday, September the 21st. And I'll check out the different apple varieties at the Oneida Apple Orchard. And I'm seriously considering when we go over to the Great River Road in western Wisconsin next weekend, stopping at the Eckers Apple Farm in Trempealeau, because that sounds like a fun place to go too. Planning on going to Trempealeau anyway for the Great River Road ride, and why not pick up some apples at the same time? I'm sorry, though, that I'm going to miss Honeycrisp Festival. That sounds good in October, but if I actually want to pick the Honeycrisp, I might as well do it sooner rather than later, Sarah?
Absolutely. These next few weekends, the next few weeks, are perfect time to pick Honeycrisp, and orchards will still offer pick your own beyond that. There's a lot of late ripening varieties like Fuji and Red Delicious. But the Honeycrisp, we have to get them in at some point. So the next 2 weeks are your time to go out and pick your own Honeycrisp.
What's the next variety or varieties that are going to have people knocking at your door?
Sweet 16 is coming on. And then I really like our later varieties, the Fuji. And we have a late one that we call the Ari Gold. And it's actually a Suncrisp. It looks like an autumn day. It's just a beautiful golden apple that gets all sorts of reds and oranges on it.
Beautiful. I know Bill Martins, the producer of this show, went apple picking the other day at a orchard somewhere in South Central Wisconsin, and he tells me that he might have been picking the apple incorrectly. I didn't know there is a proper way to pick an apple. What is it?
There actually is a correct way to pick an apple. If you put your hand underneath the apple and then roll your wrist up towards the sky, the apple should pop off, and it should take the stem in your hands with the apple and leave the whole tree. When you just pull an apple and it pulls off the spur that it's growing on, you've actually pulled off the next 4 years worth of apples.
Oh,
the next
no.
4 years growth is on the spur.
And the spur is where the stem of the apple meets the tree, or?
Yes.
Oh.
Yep. It's usually a few inches long, and it's off of one of the main branches.
Well, I think I've been bad, too, in my past apple-picking exploits. So, of course, I'm doing this now. You put your hand under the apple, and you flick your wrist toward the sky.
Yes.
All right.
If an apple is ripe, that stem is getting weaker, and it should pop right off in your hand.
Wonderful. I will be better. Rita in Madison is with us now. Hi, Rita.
Good morning. I have some news for you. I was listening to your previous caller, and he was looking for a Northern Spy apple, and I just had a Northern Spy apple from the Appleberry Farm, and that's about 10 miles west of Madison, out on Mineral Point, off of Mineral Point Road. And it's a delicious apple, very crisp and a little bit more mild and just lovely. And I had never had one before, so I was just so surprised to hear your caller talking about the Northern Spy. So I just wanted to let him know that's where he can get it.
Rita, thank you so much. I know the Appleberry Farm quite well, and I hope he's still listening, because if I'm not mistaken, he was from this area. So, good.
Oh, good.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. All right, there you go. Northern Spy Apple at the Appleberry Farm. Let's go next to Tom in Greenville. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What do you want to talk about?
Well, it's two things. One is the concept of cold storage, and today we think about having refrigeration units. But I remember growing up in Marinette, where my grandmother and then the home my parents had both had root cellars in it, and they were on outside walls, and you would put your fruits in there and put them in barrels, often fill the barrels with sand, so apples and potatoes and carrots would be in there, and those things would last well over the winter because the temperature in those things would be typically in the 40s. The cold air from outside would be controlled to get in there, and it was a different form of cold storage, I guess, back in the day.
Sounds good, Tom. Do you are you somebody who loves apples this time of year?
Oh, I like apples a lot, and that leads to the other question I had. I remember as a kid that there was one variety of apple, and I don't know the name of it, but I remember my grandmother and other ladies of her generation loving to get these. They were massive in size, way larger than a softball would be, and they were very soft, and they liked to make applesauce out of these very large apples.
So a massive soft apple.
Yeah, they were very, very large in size. I just remember them uniquely, but I don't have any recollection as to the name. So I'm curious if Sarah would know that.
Sarah?
Do you think it might have been a Wolf River? Those are very large apples.
I have no idea. I just know that in my recollection, they were larger than a softball.
Wow. Well, you know what? Of all things, maybe it is a Wolf River. I do have a comment from Nola on Facebook who says, Joy, we just tried a new apple this year for them. Wolf River. It made a great apple pie. It did not get mushy. I am anxious to try it in apple bread. So the Wolf River, is that a fairly new one, Sarah?
No, I think it is more of a heritage variety, and if you can, I think those apples are grown around the state, and you can also find those apples at nurseries and plant one in your yard.
Wow. So I'm going to go to one. We have just a minute to go. Michael in Balsam Lake wants to know whether apples need to be harvested before a frost.
A very few varieties do better after a frost, like a Red Delicious. If it's going to be a hard freeze, I would get whatever you could that was ripe enough to eat in store.
That reminds me, do you have Golden Delicious on your farm?
We do have a few Golden Delicious.
That was a favorite from my childhood, so I might have to. I'm going to see you in a next weekend, I think, Sarah. Thanks very much for being with us.
Excellent. Thank you.
Sarah Ecker, Orchard Manager at Ecker's Apple Farm in Trempealeau, a member of the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association Board of Directors, celebrating Wisconsin's apple harvest with us this hour. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Robin Cherry for producing this program. Happy apple picking. This is the Ideas Network.
Bad apple, don't spoil.